good to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope that you're having a good Sunday today. I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us. If this is your first time here, glad that you're here and visiting with us, and hope you enjoy the service. If you happen to miss any of the messages from this series or any of our other series, you can always go online to our website at StoneRidgeCC.com, and you can watch and listen to those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, we're in the second week of a series entitled Stand Up and Stand Out. And in this series, we've been talking about Nehemiah. If you've never read the book of Nehemiah, I want to encourage you to read that book. It's a great book. It's a great story. In this series, we're kind of just highlighting some of the major points or cliff notes, if you will, of this book. And Nehemiah's Braveheart moment, for those of you who saw that movie, his Braveheart moment occurred in Nehemiah 4:14, where Nehemiah said, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." I think that's a great statement, a great call to action. I want to focus on that word fight kind of as a theme for us as we stand up and stand out for the Lord. And when I think about fights, I think about my home growing up. There weren't many fights in my home growing up. The ones I did have were mainly between me and my sister. I treated her like a little brother, which meant I picked on her all the time. I was good at it. At breakfast time, at the start of the day, it all started with the stare down. I would literally stare at her across the table as she ate her bowl of cereal. And she would get so mad at me that she would take the cereal box and place it directly in front of her face so that I couldn't look at her. I then, of course, being the big brother, would lean over and try to look around the box. And she, in turn, would move the box. My mom would then get mad at my sister because she wasn't eating fast enough, and we were going to be late for school. And so the two of them would then go at it. Meanwhile, I would sit at the table egging them on and laughing, which made them both madder. And this would go on for a while. It was a regular three-ring circus of entertainment for me. Now, our fights weren't always internal. Sometimes they were external. I remember the first time my dad came to watch me play basketball. And there on our gym wall was a huge picture of Satan in graphic detail. The entire gym wall around this huge picture of Satan was painted in red flames. You may say, well, why is that, Ed? Because our mascot was the Red Devil. And my dad was so upset by this that he decided to take a stand, to stand up and stand out, if you will. And so he wrote an editorial in the local newspaper. And in the article, he talked about how much he liked living in our town. And our town was a special place, a lot like Decorah, right? And he talked about everything that he liked and enjoyed and the blessings of living there. However, my dad knew that these blessings weren't from Satan, but from God. And so he asked the question, why the big red devil on the wall? Well, this started a debate in the local newspaper that lasted lasted for weeks, and it culminated in a meeting with the school board. There, my dad and a fellow doctor in town offered to pay for all new uniforms and logos, which some of my friends thought was a great idea because we wanted to burn our uniforms, right? They were so old sometimes. But it wasn't such a great idea. What ensued was personal ridicule and chaos. Which brings us to our point today. Whenever you stand up and stand out for the Lord, it will cost you something. Let me say that again. Whenever you stand up and stand out for the Lord, it will cost you something. What did it cost Charlie Kirk this week? It cost him his life. What did it cost my family? Well, we were labeled as troublemakers in the community. A few eggs on the house. Toilet paper, trees in the yard. Dirty looks at the local grocery store. Nevertheless, my dad stood firm in what he believed in. He was willing to pay the cost, whatever it might be. Unfortunately, our school logo, the Red Devils, wasn't changed. However, I was forever changed. I remember to this day the example that my dad set for me. Well, a very similar situation happened in the life of Nehemiah. Who's Nehemiah? Well, he was a Jew living in exile. And he happened to be in the right place at the right time. He was the cupbearer to the king of Persia, meaning he was his right-hand man, right? He handed the cup to the king. He had been given permission by the king of Persia to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. However, there were people in the surrounding area who did not want to see those walls rebuilt. They didn't want to see the mascot changed, if you will. Right? We like what we have. We don't want to see them rebuilding things. Nevertheless, Nehemiah prayed, and he worked hard to rebuild those walls. And what happened in the process? Nehemiah found out about some fighting that was going on, some internal issues, some struggles, just like you may have in your life today, that we may have in our lives today. How did he handle these struggles, this infighting that was happening? Let's jump right into Scripture here, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1. About this time, some of the men and their wives raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. They were saying, "We have such large families. We need more food to survive." Others said, "We have mortgaged our fields, vineyards, and homes to get food during the famine." And others said, "We have had to borrow money on our fields and vineyards to pay our taxes. We belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs. Yet we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live? We have already sold some of our daughters, and we are helpless to do anything about it, for our fields and vineyards are already mortgaged to others." Well, what's going on here in this passage? These nobles and officials sold the people back into financial slavery. They were hurting their own people. And how did Nehemiah react when he heard all this? What did he have to say? Did he stand up and stand out? Was he willing to pay the cost? Was he willing to inject himself into the situation to make a difference? Well, let's read on in our story and find out. Verse 6. When I heard their complaint very angry. I knew I had to do something about it. Something needs to be done. After thinking it over, I spoke out against these nobles and officials. I told them, you are hurting your own relatives by charging interest when they borrow money. Then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. At the meeting, I said to them, we are doing all we can to redeem our Jewish relatives who have had to sell themselves to pagan foreigners. But you are selling them back into financial slavery again. How often must we redeem them? And they had nothing to say in their defense. Maybe you have some internal issues going on right now. Maybe you have some internal struggles happening right now in your life. Perhaps you become a slave to something. I don't have to name it because you know what it is. The Lord is bringing it to your mind right now. It has become an obsession for you, this thing. It's what you live for. It's all you think about 24/7. You know what it is. It has become your God, so to speak, this thing. It's what your life revolves around. And the question is, how do you break free from it, this thing in your life that has kind of taken over your heart and your mind? How do you break free from it? You cannot do it in your own power or strength. You need a Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He came to set us free, right? He has come to set us free. You remember what Jesus said one time when he went to the synagogue? Here's what he said, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. I don't know what it is that is taking you captive that you need to be released from today. But the Lord has come to set you free from that, to release you from it. The thing that's heavy on your heart and on your mind, that's taken over your life. He wants to set you free. Captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. Well, what did this cost Jesus? You know what it cost him. It cost him his life. Titus 2:14 says this, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. The thing that you're struggling with, he gave his life to free you from that. From every kind of sin. To cleanse us and to make us his very own people. Totally committed to doing good deeds. Well, what did it cost Nehemiah? It cost him something that is often a god for many of us. And if I'm being honest this morning, it's often a god for me. It cost him money. It cost him money. His own money. Nehemiah 5:10. I myself, as well as my brothers and my workers, have been lending the people money and grain out of our own pockets. But now let us stop this business of charging interest. I don't know what side of the fence you're on today. Maybe you're the one who needs grace. Or you're the one who is able to extend and give someone grace. Either way, at some point or another, we all need grace. Did these nobles and officials extend grace? Did they listen to Nehemiah and what he had to say? Let's read on and find out. Verse 12. They replied, we will give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say, Nehemiah. Then I called the priests and made the nobles and officials swear to do what they had promised. I made them swear to it. Here's a question for you. What do you feel in your heart God is asking you to do today? When it comes to standing up and standing up, what do you feel in your heart that God is asking you to do today? Imploring you to do? And do you promise to do it? Will you give back everything and demand nothing more? So often we want to lord it over people. Right? So often we want to lord it over them so they hurt like we hurt. And in our hearts, we know this isn't good for us or them. So what do we need to do? Ask the Lord to take away the pain. Maybe you have some pain in your life right now. Ask the Lord to take away the pain. What do we do while we're waiting for Him to take away that pain? We focus on the work the Lord has called us to do. Right? We have a job. We have a mission. You know the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah said, I have a vision. Right? I have a mission and a vision. Nehemiah 5:16. I also devoted myself to working on the wall. I was focused on the work the Lord gave me to do. I didn't lose sight of the big picture. Don't lose sight of the big picture today. We're in a spiritual battle between good and evil. Focus on that. I devoted myself to working on the wall and refused to acquire any land. And I required all my servants to spend time working on what mattered and what was important for the Lord. Working on the wall. I asked for nothing, even though I regularly fed 150 Jewish officials at my table, besides all the visitors from other lands. What is the Lord calling us to do? What's He calling you and me to do today? Stand up for the people in our lives who are hurting. There are people all around us who are hurting. The people you see every day that you know in your family, that you work with. Why should we stand up for the people in our lives who are hurting? Because it's the right thing to do? Nehemiah didn't take advantage of the people. He could have. But instead he helped them. Nehemiah 5:18. Yet I refused to claim the governor's allowance. I refused to claim what was due to me or what was owed to me as the governor. Because the people already carried a heavy burden. Here's the thing. Those who are hurting, you know this, often carry a heavy burden. We just don't know about it or see it. So often I'll have this preconceived notion in my head as I meet with a couple. And they'll tell me about an issue or a problem that they're having in my life. And in my mind, I will be so judgmental and so critical. And as they begin to tell me their story, everything suddenly changes within me. I begin to think, oh my gosh, I'm a jerk. These people are, no wonder they're acting the way they're acting or feeling the way they're feeling. I didn't know that. I didn't know they went through that in their childhood. I didn't know that they experienced that at the workplace. Why don't we know or see? Because we often choose not to get involved. That's why we don't know or see. We don't take the time to hear someone else's story. Nehemiah made a choice to get involved. question today is, what choice will you make? And if you're still struggling with what to do, look at what Nehemiah said to God. Remember, oh my God, all that I have done for these people, and bless me for it. What's he saying here? Remember, oh God, all that I have done. What's he saying? God, I did what you wanted me to do. That's what he's saying. God, I did what you wanted me to do. It wasn't easy to forgive that person. It wasn't easy to love that person. They owe me money. They owe me an apology. Regardless, Nehemiah chose to pick up the tab, to put it on my bill. And he asked God to remember him for it. And all I can say is, Lord, help us to pick up the tab, especially when it's difficult. May we remember that you picked up the tab for us. You paid the price. May we think about all that you did for us on the cross. This is exactly what Peter did after the resurrection. What did the Lord ask Peter? You know the story. What did he ask Peter? Do you love me? How did Peter respond? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. What did Jesus say? Then feed my lambs and take care of my sheep. Isn't that what the Lord has called us to do? Feed and take care of his people? However, that's often the last thing we want to do. Why? Because we're so involved in our own lives. We're just not interested in getting involved and standing up and standing out. We'd rather shelter in our own bunkers, in our own homes. We care too much for our life. John 12:25, Jesus said, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for this life in this world will keep it for eternity. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. How did Peter go about demonstrating that he cared nothing for his life in this world? How did he go about demonstrating that? Well, do you remember what he said to a crippled beggar? Acts 3:6. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. So what is it you have? And are you willing to give it to the Lord and his people? What is it that you have? And are you willing to give it to the Lord and his people? Peter was. He's like, I don't have any money. I don't have gold or silver, but I'll give you what I have. I'll join in the fight and give you what I have. Nehemiah was willing to do it. He's like, I do have money. I got money, and I'll give it to you. And then there was Stephen. Who's Stephen? A man full of God's grace and power. You may remember his story in Acts chapter 7. I'm jealous of the women. They're doing a study of the book of Acts. What a great book. We did it the other year with the youth group. We took a chapter each week and talked about it. Acts chapter 7, you know the chapter. It's a long one. There, Stephen recounts the history of Israel, how God always took care of his people, but his people always rejected him. Apparently, they didn't care for Stephen's accusations, And so they stoned him. Do you remember what he cried out as they were stoning him? About to wrap up here, Acts 7:59. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin. Don't hold this against them." As they were throwing stones at him, this is what he says. And with that, he died. "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." Perhaps you've been stoned or blindsided this week. Didn't see that coming. But at some point or another, we all have been blindsided by something in our lives. I did not see that coming. So what should we pray when this happens? Lord, give us the strength to respond like Stephen. Give us the strength to respond like him. May we not only help those who are hurting, but those who are hurting us. Why? Because when we do this, we will really stand out. When we take that sign and we flip it, like in this opening video, when we respond like that, we stand out. Normal people don't do those things. And to be honest, when someone hurts me, that's not my first response, right? My first response is to get back and to get even. So Lord, give me the strength to respond like Jesus. Because I want to stand out for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Ed, I haven't been standing up and standing out. I've been kind of hiding out in my own world, doing my own thing." This week I was blindsided. I didn't see that. But I realize God has a plan and a purpose for me. He's called me to make a difference where he has placed me. Would you pray that God would give me the strength to stand out and to stand up? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Ed, I've never given my heart and life to Jesus. I never asked him to forgive me for my sins. And it's time I did that. I want to stand up and stand out and give my heart and life to the Lord. I know it's going to cost me something. My family back home, they may not like it. But it's time I did something about it." Maybe you're here when you say, "Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like one. I've been engrossed and involved in the things of this world, and I've forgotten what God has called me to do, the bigger purpose he has given me, the wall that he wants me to build for him, the mission." Would you pray for me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, "Ed, I want Jesus. I want to stand up today and give my heart and my life to him." If that's you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. "Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change knucklehead. I'm a Christian. But I haven't been flipping that sign. I haven't been forgiving people, loving people. Would you pray for me? Lord Jesus, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that you would help us to flip that sign, to forgive and to love.